The Red Nation interview series is brought to you by Derby Star Canada. Visit derbystar.ca and see specialty soccer balls designed with development in mind for all ages. Play soccer with quality like the German and Dutch at derbystar.ca.
You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Botcher, and recently I had the chance to speak with Kara Lang. In this interview, Kara and I discuss the upcoming Women's World Cup that will be held in Canada, her thoughts on how coaches can get the most out of their players, and her upcoming participation as a speaker at the 2015 National Soccer Coaching Conference. And now, Kara Lang. Kara, you'll be speaking at the National Soccer Coaching Conference at the end of January. I'm wondering, why did you decide to get involved, and are you excited to be part of a conference specifically geared to the people in the trenches growing the game and developing Canadian soccer players?
I decided to get involved because I saw it as a great opportunity to share some of my experiences growing up playing soccer in Canada and playing soccer within the national team program. You know, I think that one of the biggest steps that we need to, or what we need to do in order to take steps forward as a soccer country is improve our coaching from the ground up. And I think, you know, events like these are certainly a good start. And I think, you know, any way that I can contribute to that, I want to. And I think that having a look at the schedule and the program of the conference, it looks like it's definitely headed in the right direction and that it's going to be a very valuable weekend for a lot of people.
As you've mentioned, you're going to be speaking about your time with the Canadian women's national team, and that's certainly topical given what's coming up this summer. Can you talk a little bit in specifics about, you know, some of the stories or some of the things that you'll be discussing during your presentation?
Well, to be honest, it's a question and answer, and I haven't been told exactly what the line of questioning is going to be, but you know, just anything from the training and the travel and just the experiences of playing at that level and playing in front of large crowds and just the opportunity of representing your country and what that means and what that meant to me. And then, of course, any other questions anybody has. I think, you know, it's the most similar experience I have had that will be most similar to next summer's World Cup will be the under-19 Women's World Cup that we had. And so, you know, I'll be speaking probably a lot to that and what that was like because, you know, it's the first time we've ever hosted a World Cup on home soil. And it's just a very different experience playing in front of your home crowd than it is playing somewhere in China or even when we played in the World Cup in the U.S. in 2003.
As a former high-level player, you'll be bringing the standpoint of a player to a coaching conference. I'm wondering, who are some of the coaches who had a positive impact on your playing career and, you know, even who you are as a person today?
Well, first of all, my first ever club soccer coach, George Stoberman from the Oakville Soccer Club. He was my coach for many years, basically from under 11 until I was with the national team until I think my last year was playing under 16 for him. So he was a huge influence on my career. I mean, he had a very high standard and he was a tough coach. He wasn't afraid to yell from the sidelines. And I think, you know, I grew a pretty tough skin from him and I learned at a very early age not to take anything personally. I think because I believed that he really wanted me to be better and that he really believed in my potential, it was never a question of it being personal when he gave me feedback. I always just took the feedback and went with it. And I think I learned to be coachable from playing under him. Ian Bridge, for sure, playing on the under-19 team for him as the head coach. He'd been the assistant coach with the full women's team, and I played for him as an assistant coach. But I really enjoyed playing for him when he was the head coach for that team. We all did. That was a great time for all of us on that team. And, you know, he really brought us together as a team, like some of the team bonding activities that he did, and just the way the activities that he did even in practice to teach us to play as a team. I think that they were really valuable, and they helped us in that tournament, and then they helped us all as players going forward too. And then John Herdman, even though it was just a very short period of time playing under him in camp in 2013 when I came back, just tactically, the stuff that I learned from him, I do wish that I had an opportunity to play for him for a lot longer than just in training camp. But he's just an amazing soccer mind, and there's so much to learn from him in that sense, tactically and also technically.
As a player who competed at the highest levels with the Canadian women's national team, what do you think are the most important qualities that a coach should have in order to get the best out of high-level players?
I think one of the most important qualities is recognizing the importance of the social and emotional aspect, especially when coaching women, that's a big part of the game, and that it's something that needs to be addressed and something that needs to be taught and worked on. And I mean, it's you know, things like the mental side of the game, it's a skill, and it you need to practice it, and the coach needs to understand that as well. And then also just realizing that you can't coach every player the same way, you know, that you can you need to do different things to get the best out of each player, and you need to understand who they are as a person to be able to do that.
Speaking of the women's national team, we're now less than 6 months away from the kickoff of the 2015 Women's World Cup that will be held here in Canada. Obviously, we're all supporting the women's team and hoping they'll enjoy a really positive breakthrough tournament performance. Outside of how Canada does in the games, I'm wondering, what are you hoping the main benefits and the main impact that the tournament will have for Canadian soccer and Canadian society?
I think that it's just a great opportunity for Canadians to see the game at the highest level, live and in person. I think that, you know, young girls who will be coming out to these games are going to be exposed to the kind of soccer that they need to be exposed to. They need to understand that that's the level, if they want to play for the national team, they need to be able to compete at that level. And I think it's a great thing for young girls to be able to see just what they can aspire to. I think it's great for them to be able to see women playing in front of large crowds and seeing them getting the recognition that they deserve. So I think that'll be huge, because I think any, you know, even after the Under-19 World Cup and any World Cup or 2008 Olympics and especially the 2012 Olympics, I've heard so many personal stories from girls saying that was the reason they signed up to play soccer, and that was the reason that they pursued soccer, decided that's the sport they wanted to play over any other sport. And I think that, you know, we're going to see that tenfold after this tournament, because it won't just be the Canadian team that these young girls and boys will be watching. You know, they'll get the chance to see Japan, they'll get the chance to see Germany, France, England, you know, a number of different styles, but all played at the highest level.
Aaron Nielsen, who's one of the most prolific contributors to our site, Red Nation, has already made his predictions for the tournament, and he's picked a World Cup final featuring Canada and the United States. What are your thoughts on Canada's chances to go far in the World Cup this summer?
I'm expecting Canada to, at the very least, make it to the semifinals. I think that there's a chance they could be in that final game for sure. I think I would be disappointed if they didn't at least make it to the semis. I think that I've kind of broken down the groups, and you know, I think it's kind of, you know, anywhere between Germany, France, Brazil, the U.S., and Canada. There's a number of different combinations that I've gone through, and but I certainly see the U.S. in that final, and then after that, I think we'll just have to see how that goes.
There's obviously a lot of history between Canada and the United States, especially given what occurred at the Olympics. What are your thoughts on that particular matchup, and how do you like Canada's chances should they once again find themselves facing off against the United States?
I think, you know, as time goes by, Canada continues to close that gap. I think we saw from that game last May in Winnipeg that Canada competed – very well with the Americans. In fact, they were leading at one point. I think the injection of youth that the Canadian team has seen recently has, done wonders. I think that there's a number of players that the Americans aren't used to and can't really handle, Tadisha Buchanan being one for sure. And she will make an impact in every game, but I think, you know, she's one of those players who especially steps up against a team like the Americans, and she just doesn't have that fear against them. It's almost like she's too young to respect them maybe as much as she should, and so she, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think that she, you know, there's no fear when she plays against them. And I think Canada still has a ways to go, but 6 months can be a long time in some ways. And I think that, you know, it's at this point, it's just a matter of time before the Canadians beat the Americans. So, you know, I think it, no matter what, it's always going to be a good game.
In addition to following the Canadian women's national team, I closely follow the Canadian men's national team, as I assume you do as well. One exasperating aspect of that endeavor is the fact that often for the men, home field advantage isn't really an advantage given the large number of people that show up for matches in Canada to support the opposing teams. However, I'm expecting a much different feel to the matches in this summer's Women's World Cup in Canada. How much of a boost do you think the women's national team will get from playing at home?
Well, I think it's going to be great. I think, if anything, it's going to make the experience a lot more enjoyable for the Canadian women. The idea that it's necessarily going to be a huge advantage and you know, it'll definitely motivate them, but I think, you know, John Herdman is working so much on them kind of staying on an even keel, you know, not getting overly excited about anything or not getting overly down about anything. So I think that, you know, if they're doing all that work to stay mentally prepared, I don't think it should matter whether they have the home field advantage or not in how they perform. But I think for the overall experience of the tournament and the memories that they'll have and just the experience for the fans themselves, I'm 100% expecting amazing atmospheres at these games, and so I think it's certainly something everyone should be looking forward to. Just for the culture of soccer in Canada, I think it's going to do wonders.
As most Canadian soccer fans are well aware, you had been hoping to play in this summer's World Cup and had a comeback derailed by a knee injury suffered early last year. How is your health and fitness now with respect to that injury? And now that you've had some time to reflect, how do you look back on you know, the comeback endeavor and the unfortunate injury that you suffered?
In terms of recovering from the surgery, I did do a lot of damage this most recent injury, more than I had in the past. And so the recovery has been a lot longer than the past two ACL reconstructions, because there were a number of other things that needed to be fixed. And so I'm still, I mean, this time in the past, like this far along in my recovery in the past, I would have been playing already, and I'm still unable to run. And I'm not sure if I'll be able to run any time in the near future without another procedure. But in general, I'm able to be active. I can do a lot of stuff. I can paddleboard, I can surf, I can walk and hike and stuff like that. So I have stayed very active, but certainly no soccer, no running, unfortunately. As far as how I look back on the attempted comeback, I think, you know, it was something that I had to do. I had to try. I don't have any regrets about doing that. Obviously, I wish it had ended in a different way, but at the same time, you know, as painful and hard as it was, I don't think there could really be any clearer sign that maybe it's just not what I was supposed to be doing in my life. So, you know, I think I've taken it pretty well, and I'm moving on and focusing my attention on other things. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have other opportunities, like being a part of the broadcast of this World Cup. So that's really where I'm focusing my energies.
Yeah, in addition to the broadcasting aspect, another way that you'll be part of this World Cup is as an official ambassador for the tournament. What does that role entail, and what are some of the events that you'll be part of that people can look forward to?
Well, the role is really just getting the word out there. you know, helping people understand how big this tournament is and what we have coming into our own backyard, essentially. And, yeah, just spreading the word about the tournament. I think any opportunity to be a part of any of the unveiling, so the mascot unveiling, the logo unveiling, greater goal when we unveiled that as well in Winnipeg. So it's a lot of stuff like that, a lot of events like that, just getting out there yeah, spreading the word. I don't know exactly what's next. I mean, the most recent thing that I did was being a part of the draw, which was really cool. I never really envisioned myself being a part of something like that, but it was really cool and a big honor to be involved in that. And then in the future, just events here and there. I'm doing something in Manitoba in March, speaking at a conference there, and then just probably a few events in Vancouver. But to be honest, they kind of just let me know as the events come up, so I don't have anything in advance.
One final question for you. You've touched on it already, the fact that you've been making a move into the broadcast booth and, you know, covering the game as an analyst, and you'll be there for the World Cup in that capacity, as well as, you know, I'm sure all of our listeners have seen your work on women's games and also MLS games as well. Now that you've been at it for a couple of years, how do you think the transition from being a player to the broadcast booth has gone for you?
Well, I think I'm certainly still learning every day on the job. Making the switch from women's soccer to men's soccer, especially live covering the MLS games, there was certainly a transition, but it was really fun. I mean, I really enjoyed doing it, and you know, it's just nice to still be involved in the game, and I have an interest in it as it is, so it's nice to, you know, have that opportunity to travel and to go to the games and be involved in it and do something that I've never done before. It's also a little bit scary, to be honest, or it was at first. I feel like towards the end of this last season, it being my first MLS season, I felt like I started to get the hang of it, as far as sideline reporting and stuff like that, because it is a different skill than any of the other stuff I've done in TV recently. But I'm very excited for the season to start again, for the MLS season to start again, and of course I'm really excited for the Women's World Cup broadcasting to start. I'm excited to be a part of the features that we'll be creating with TSN leading up to the tournament, and just having a chance to profile some of these players, both the Canadian players as well as other teams from other countries, and just really putting the spotlight on the women's game. That's something that I'm really excited about.